Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Simply Amazing. Tim Ryder from the Apple. Friends, we witnessed absolute greatness on Friday night. Jacob DeGrom did Jacob DeGrom things once again. It came at a time where the Mets needed him to do it. Just, you know, they needed him to be Jacob DeGrom. And it, you know, he snapped him out of this funk. And boy, what a funk it was. But we're going to jump into all that. Really, there's been so many less than thrilling narratives over the first few weeks, whether it's postponements, whether it's non-productive times with men on base or just coming out flat and stupid defensive miscues or whatever. It's been one thing after another. And especially after the week that the Mets had in Chicago, you know, that was entirely disappointing. I mean, getting swept out of Chicago was probably absolute last on this team's list of ways to kind of wrap up the road trip. Just so many mistakes in the field, at the plate, missed opportunities, you know, missing out on wins in April while there's a lot of time to make up for those lost wins. You know, you hate to see him come back and bite you in the long run. We were very familiar with how this cycle works. Anyone who remembers 2007 and 2008 knows a couple of losses that should have been wins back in April and May. You know, they'll make a big difference down the line later. And that's, you know, that's something, that's a situation the Mets obviously don't want to run into, but that they're kind of built to perform beyond that level of if, I guess you could put it that way. So, I mean, even despite all the issues over the last week, I mean, I'm just going to talk about the Chicago series, but after all those issues, they still came into Friday night. They're 7-7. They're tied for first place in the NL East. They have four games in hand over Philadelphia, who's, they were at 9-9 in the NL East leading, or tied for the lead. You know, they could be in worse positions at this point. I know you could look across town at the Yankees, who are really struggling with a really talented team. And, you know, their fans are just absolutely, you know, their minds are literally exploding. You look on Twitter and, you know, the place is just a dumpster fire. Again, that ship is going to right, just like the Mets ship is going to right. And they took a really, really big first step in that direction on Friday against the Nationals. As we were saying, after the tough times, the Mets needed Jacob DeGrom to come out and pitch like Jacob DeGrom. And we're all expecting him to do that. And, you know, he comes out on Friday and once again, exceeds all expectations. Just an absolute career night. You heard about him. Yeah, you heard him talking about it in the postgame presser. Just he knew that he felt good. He said he felt nervous coming out of the bullpen because he felt that good throwing before the game. And boy, you know, if you're Tomas Nito and you're walking out with Jacob DeGrom and you know how good he's feeling, it's like, oh boy, this is just going to be such a treat. And that's what we got. We got a treat. It was watching a master at work. Phil Hughes, you guys know Phil, he used to pitch for the Yankees. You follow him for his baseball and sports card content. Check out Phil's polls on YouTube, by the way. It's really fun. But like middle of the game, and this is early on still, he's like, put Jacob DeGrom in the Hall of Fame. I replied, what, today? Like, you know, but that's what he's leading up to. And he's actually said it this year that that's a goal in the back of his mind is to be I'll quote him, an inner circle Hall of Famer. And that's, you know, those are lofty goals. But again, he's on the trajectory to kind of meet those goals. And you know, that level of player was on full display on Friday. It was, just incredibly impressive. So I think through the sixth and seventh, he struck out the side in both innings. That had him at 15 strikeouts through seven. Of course, I'm sitting back and I'm saying, oh, wow, you know, Jacob DeGrom is going to strike out the next six batters he faces, and he's going to set a major league record tonight with 21 strikeouts in a game. That didn't happen, but he still finished out the game. He had a terrific night at the plate. You know, flirting with 100, 101 all night, just baffling hitters, absolutely baffling guys. It was very early on in the game. I think he was facing Trey Turner for the first time. He started him off with two sliders low in the zone. He put 101 up high in the zone and then threw the same exact slider on the fourth pitch. And he just stood no chance. And it's like, oh, wow. Well, Jake's feeling good tonight. And, you know, you just settle in and watch it. And every inning he goes out and he's just more and more impressive. And just it's incredible. And then you saw the Mets roster, the positional roster, kind of pick themselves up behind him. And, you know, we were just saying it, things have been very, very bad. They went 3-for-20 with runners in scoring position in Chicago, losing 3 in a row to Chicago, who's, you know, they, I know they weren't projected to be a very good team, but that's still a talented roster. The Mets had no, I think Justin Toscano put it best. Hey, Justin, the Mets had no business being swept in Chicago. Absolutely none. But these things happen. And like we were saying, and like I've been saying on Twitter all week, where, hey, I think I may have overstepped my boundaries telling people to chill. I learned the hard way in my mentions when I woke up on Friday morning that it's a slippery slope telling Mets fans to chill out. I think all of us have our process dealing with rough times. And, you know, I'm going to refrain from that in the future. I should also refrain from comparing them to Yankees fans, because we're not Yankees fans. But when you have a high expectations and those expectations don't come to fruition right away, people get a little salty. And, you know, again, everyone's got their process. I'll do my best not to be so antagonistic. But, you know, just chill out. All right, onward. Yeah, so the Mets come into Friday. They really needed a pick-me-up day. They needed a win in the worst possible, the only time that you can say it's a must-win game in April when Jake is on the mound and you're coming off a sweep that you shouldn't have been swept in. And the Mets, you know, they came. And, yeah, for the first few innings, as they always do, they made Eric Fetty, whoever's going to be out there, they made him look like fucking Greg Maddux. But, you know, they got over that hump. Good things happened. You know, Jake kind of did his own damage. He got an RBI double to put the team ahead early. Brandon Nimmo continued his just absolutely scorching stretch. He missed some time with a sore hip this week, and he comes back in and he's in the middle of everything. He's blooping, you know, scoring a run off of his double on Dom's bloop single. He played in another earlier in the game. Two-run homer in the ninth. You know, these are the types of performances we're looking for. And no, the offense is still not firing on all cylinders. But, boy, just a sign of life when it's needed the most is just so, so, so encouraging. But, yeah, we're going to take a real quick break. We're going to hear from our sponsors. We're going to come back and talk about Jacob deGrom a little bit more. And, yeah, close it out strong and hope for a big weekend. Hopefully we get 3 in. It's supposed to rain on Sunday, but hang tight. We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level. The who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, guys. So we're going to just wrap things up briefly, somewhat briefly, talking about, you know, not even a question, the greatest pitcher I've ever seen do his job in my life. And, you know, I'm 37. I've been watching ball for about, you know, half the time of some of the people who've been who have opinions on this matter. But I know what I see, and I see the absolute, you know, dominance at a level I've never seen it ever. You know, I caught the very tail end of Doc Gooden's height. I guess, you know, I was a preteen when he was began his descent, and I do remember his perfect game with the Yankees very well. I was rooting pretty hard for him. But anyway, back to my point, Jacob DeGrom is without a doubt the greatest pitcher that I've ever seen ply his trade. He going out there, and, you know, it's tough to think about what an opposing hitter is going on. Well, it's tough to kind of peg what's going on in his head, especially through a screen when you're not there and you're not a professional ball player yourself. But, you know, how do you prepare to face someone who's just unquestionably head and shoulders more talented than you are as a hitter? And you know, that's not to take anything away from professional baseball players, but at the level that Jacob DeGrom is pitching compared to the level that Joe Schmo, MLB ball player, is doing his thing, guys don't stand a chance. And so far this season, that's really been the case. I mean, you can look at Jake's – he's got a 0.31 ERA. That's through four starts. He's got 50 strikeouts in how many innings is this? My goodness. 50 strikeouts in 29 innings and three walks. Yeah, that's just unfair. You know, guys find grooves. They go on hot streaks. We've seen unbelievable stretches. You can even look back to Trevor Bauer last year and go, oh, yeah, well, you know, that's a really good 11-game stretch. That's nothing compared to what we've seen Jacob DeGrom do over the first four starts and do it without, you know, unrecognizable substances on their hat or their jersey or with one eye open or closed for that matter. You know, just another class of pitcher. And again, you know, these are all professionals. Look at Saturday starter. Look at Marcus Stroman, who's having a terrific start to the season and has been this consistent level of pitcher for a long time. I mean, when you're starting off your season with a 0.89 ERA, but only hardcore Mets fans are really talking about it because Jacob DeGrom is doing historical, magical, amazing things every time he goes out, you know, one, hey, that's got to be a pretty cool position to be in because all the pressure is off of you, especially once Carrasco returns, which should be coming soon, and Syndergaard, which should be coming not too long after that. Just with Jake up front doing his thing and just the consistency and the consistency of excellence, not just the consistency, the level of dominance that he comes to the table with, you know, not only does it kind of set the pace or set the tone for the rest of the rotation, it just, like I said, it alleviates the pressure off guys. And, you know, of course, the competitive edge, everybody wants to keep up with the head, you know, the leader of the pack, but who's going to keep up with Jacob DeGrom at this point? And that goes for the Mets rotation, that goes league wide. I mean, who's going to perform at this level? And down the line, you know, your Walker Buehler's or your Tyler Glasnow's or your next, you know, your next big things, your next proven stars, really like what, what the hell is his name? John Means is doing in Baltimore, even though he was, I guess the video caught him going to his hat or to his glove or something too. Again, this is something that happens throughout the game. I personally hope that MLB, does approve a universal substance that pitchers can use because, you know, guys going to sunscreen or boiled down fucking Dr. Pepper, you know, it's wild. And I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but if you go and look at a pitching ninja who's just does terrific things for the game, go check him out on Twitter. He had a video of Kenley Jansen from the Dodgers throwing it was a two-seamer. And the thing broke. It must have broke fucking 20 inches to the left, away from a right-handed hitter. And I'm not accusing him of using anything, but balls aren't supposed to fucking do that, guys. It just doesn't, it's not how it works. So, you know, either level the playing field or, you know, let's find pitchers that are Jacob DeGrom, who theoretically, I mean, presumably he doesn't need it. You don't see him going to his fucking glove or going to his jersey or tapping his wrist before he, when he turns his back to the umpire, which we saw somebody on Twitter pointed it out. Boy, I wish I had the note in front of me. Somebody pointed out last weekend in Colorado, the Rockies pitcher went to his wrist in between pitches. And I went back on my TV and I found it. And lo and behold, he did it. He's touching it. And then he did like the, you know, the grippy finger motion. If you guys could see me, I'm doing that right now. But, you know, it's, I know I kind of went off on a tangent here, but it does tie in, I promise. You know, it's a league-wide thing. Just level that playing field. Let everybody kind of do their thing and try to keep up with Jacob DeGrom. There's my tie-in. Because that's all they're doing. All of them can try and pull all the strings they can and you know, get all the competitive edges that they can by using all these wild Vaseline balls or whatever the fuck they're using. But no one's going to catch up to Jacob DeGrom. It's at this point, who can? And, you know, look at his fastball. He's not slowing down anytime soon. I have his first seven pitches of the game here in front of me. Velocity, and they're all four-seamers. Velocity of 99.6, 99.6, 100.8, 99.7, 100.8, 101 on the freaking nose, and 100.3. That's how you start the game. And then you're going to throw 92-mile-an-hour sliders and change-ups that move just as crisply as a slider does from any other guy. Like, it's just insanity. Fucking insanity. Guy, I'm sorry. I'm cursing a little bit. It's like 11 o'clock on a Friday, as we do. Andrew, big shout to Andrew Claudio, my producer, who absolutely has held my hand through this entire process. You know, he's on call 24/7. I had to change nights last night because I recorded an absolutely expletive-laden episode of Simply Amazing after Thursday night's loss versus the Cubs, which I said it on Twitter on Friday. Maybe I'll break that out ahead of the World Series parade. But boy, that was just like 25 minutes of me fucking going off. I was really, really angry. But yeah, big shout to Andrew for hanging with me through all of this and taking my email at probably close to midnight on Friday and then posting it on Saturday, because my guy is he's an absolute trooper. So anyway, back to the Mets. You know, the league can do what they're going to do to catch up to Jacob DeGrom. They're never going to, though. But between Jacob DeGrom and what the rest of the Mets pitching staff is doing, and you can go right down the line, everyone's really pitching up. We've seen guys have, you know, struggles. Luke Casey had some issues. Tywan Walker had some issues his last time out. David Peterson's been terrific. I know I was very – I said it all through the back end of the offseason. I was very hesitant to throw David Peterson into the mix. I really was. I did not think that he would adjust so quickly to major league hitters as they're adjusting to him. I've said it more than once on the show. And he has. He really has. He's been just consistent. He's been confident. He gets the job done. What was it? The night with all the errors? You know, he spoke to the media and he was just, you know, it wasn't our night. He could have griped. He could have been, you know, and he would have been justified in being very, very pissed off. But hey, these are the breaks. It's a very, very long season. But going into Friday night before Jacob DeGrom got on the mound, which now these numbers are probably lower, but definitely much lower. So going into Friday, the Mets starting rotation, they had a 2.93 ERA. It was fifth in baseball. They've allowed 0.73 home runs per nine. That's third in baseball. Their 2.74 fielding independent pitching rating, FIP, which is just, it's an ERA with league average defense. It takes pretty much defense out of the equation. It's just on the pitcher. And that's the best in baseball. And that was heading into Friday. So, and you look over at the bullpen and sure, a 4.61 ERA, won't get the job done, but hey, again, they could be in a worse position now. They've allowed just 0.66 home runs per nine. That's tied with Seattle for second in baseball. And their FIP was 3.07. That's third in baseball. So, you know, the pitching staff is doing their job. The offense has had a lot of issues up until this point. Friday was a very encouraging, hopeful step out of that that slump and that team-wide funk. It seems like Brandon Nimmo's the only one hitting consistently. And, you know, at least Pete Alonso's hitting the absolute shit out of the ball. I said it on the Apple on Friday, Friday morning. By the way, guys, subscribe to the Apple. I don't care if it's free or paid. If you want to pay for it, awesome. That's not up for me to decide. I'm never going to use paywalls. I'm never going to do any of that. Never going to, oh, I got a cool interview, but it's behind a paywall. Ha ha. No, that's not my thing. Once I type my stuff, once I speak to the, into the mic here, once I finish, it's yours. If you feel like paying me for it, awesome. Great. I'll always take it. But I'm not going to hold my work ransom for money. That's just not how I operate. But back to what I was saying, subscribe to the Apple. But I was, as I was saying on the Apple, on Thursday, Pete grounded out. This is his season high exit velocity at 117.1 miles per hour. That was a ground out. His home run later in the game was at 108.6 miles per hour. So that increased his major league leading average exit velocity to 100.3 miles per hour. Aaron Judge of the Yankees, he's in second. His average is 97.8 miles per hour. And I think Gary Cullen said it on the broadcast on Friday. And hey, Gary, if you're listening or if you're reading the Apple, we appreciate it, man. You're a fucking legend. Anyway, moving on. Pete's average exit velocity is 2.5 miles per hour higher than Aaron Judge's or than the second place guy. It doesn't matter who it is. He's hitting the absolute just putting out of the ball. I know I already said it once. I didn't want to repeat myself. So, but you know, these are very good signs. And you know, when Pete's on, he's going to put the team on his back and go. And when Jeff McNeil's on, he's going to, you know, string together a week of multi-hit games. And when Michael Conforto's on, he's going to send, you know, it, what feels like every other double, you know, every other extra base hit he hits is going to send it to the opposite field, and he's going to do big things. Dom Smith is going to continue to just come up huge, and boy, he looks really good. I don't want to say really good, but he looks extremely serviceable in left field. And boy, a huge tip of the cap for Dom. One, lobbying a absolute. Well, now we know that the Mets organization was just absolutely staunch in budging on anything. We've heard about the Jed Lowry freaking mess, and they wouldn't let him get his knee surgery. Now he's raking out in Oakland. Good for him. We are all Jed Lowry fans now. But, you know, Dom Smith was relegated to a backup spot, relegated to a bench spot because Pete Alonso, and rightly so, he earned the first base job, the starting first base job, because his bat is just terrific. And then Dom, you know, with all of the I don't want to say misinformation, but all of the kind of just mixed. What's the phrase I'm looking for here? It was a really weird first impression that he gave because he struggled at first, like most ball players do when they come up. But, you know, the pedigree of Dom Smith, the first round draft pick, the line through the minors, that was just, you know, you didn't expect the power from him, but he blossomed and he realized that, hey, I'm blocked, so I got to do something to get my playing time. And, you know, he turned himself into a major league caliber left fielder. Is he going to win a fucking Gold Glove out there? No, probably not. But he's starting in left field, and I don't have the stats in front of me. I could probably pull it up, though. Actually, no. Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be updated yet, but it'll be close enough. Dom Smith Statcast. Because, you know, he's been making the plays that he should make, and he's been, you know, he hasn't been atrocious. I mean, to be honest, we've probably seen Michael Conforto make worse plays in right field than we have Dom Smith in left field this year. And, you know, that's not a knock on Conforto. Things will come around. He did have a really statistically bad season, advanced metrics, in right field last season. But he's been a terrific corner outfielder throughout his career. He's going to be fine. Here we go. I got Dom Smith here. What does he look like? He's negative one outs above average in left field. That's not terrible for a guy who doesn't play left field. He's a fucking first baseman. I'll take that. I'll take that every day of the week, especially if he's going to come out and hit well. Talked a little bit earlier in the week about his expected stats. Of course, this is all, you know, expected metrics are all based on your your exit velocity, your launch angle. It's what the ball, what the ball should do. Of course, these stats are going to reward, higher exit velocity, because as we all know, you hit the ball square, it's got a better chance of finding grass. That's just how it works. Dom Smith, his expected stats were through the roof over the first few weeks, but the results at the plate kind of weren't there. Going into Friday, I think he was 4 for his last 13. And then on Friday night, he had a really nice night at the plate, went another 1 for 4. So he's coming out of it. Everyone's going to be coming out of it soon. And this team's going to be a force. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with. I'm not sure if we can expect, the bullpen or the starting rotation to keep up these, elite group metrics. But, the foundation is certainly there for them to do special things. And, like we just said, once the offense is clicking, and you have to, there's no concern on Francisco Lindor's slow start on my end. Absolutely none. He's a proven elite level star. I'm just kind of selfish. I want to see the Francisco Lindor we've all been told about. We saw it in the spring. He was certainly hitting in the spring, and these things come and go. He's going to fall back into it, and we're going to all kind of just revel in the wonderment of Francisco Lindor doing his thing. I guess I'm kind of just anxious to see it. Again, not concerned whatsoever. He's going to come around, but boy, guys, did we go off on a nice little tangent here? This was fun. You see what one Mets win can do for my mood? Just completely turn me right around. The Mets go into Saturday's game at 4:10, and it's on PIX. Don't be confused that it's not on SNY. They are facing the Nats. They got Marcus Stroman, who, oh, I'm sorry, it's not a 0.89 ERA. It's a 0.90 ERA. He's facing Joe Ross, who's had an uneven start for the Nats. He's at 5.87 ERA through two. He had a really nice couple of first starts. Got rocked his last time out. But, the Mets, just they need to string together a couple of wins. And with rain expected on Sunday, 100% here on the island. So I have to assume that that's into Queens as well. Heading into another postponement with a second win. Boy, that would be a very nice little, wrinkle. And then you have Boston coming in for two after an off day on Monday. So, again, a nice win Friday, a hopeful big win on Saturday will lead into yet another multi-day break. This is getting ridiculous. May can't come soon enough. Boston in for two, another off day on Thursday. And then you start a string of 8 games in a row. No, 10 games in a row. Yeah, three in Philly, 3 in St. Louis, and 3 at home versus Arizona before they're off again on May 10th. So, guys, hopefully this is the beginning of something very, very special. As far as special goes, this is about as special as it gets. Jacob DeGrom is undoubtedly the greatest pitcher I've ever seen pitch. And look at that. We tie it up on the first thing we brought up to start things off. All right, everybody, you know where to find us. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, check out everything that's going on at the Apple. That's at the Apple NYM on Twitter. You know where to find me on Twitter. It's at Timothy R. Ryder. All the links and stuff are in my bio. Let's go Mets, guys. We'll see you on Monday.